Hello, I'm Philip McVeigh, and I'm with Ron and Robin Garriga, and we are in the midst of our generosity campaign called Will You Grow? We're taking each word of that campaign each week. Last week it was Will, today it's You. And so when we hear the word you, I'm imagining that people are thinking all kinds of different people in their head. But Ron and Robin, what do we mean when we say you?
You is an individual. And what we're asking for in the Will You Grow generosity campaign is that we're asking folks to just take a self-reflection, take a look at what you're doing in your opportunity to tithe and what you intend to do in your next steps for tithing. So when I think about you, I think about an individual opportunity for self-reflection and what we're dealing with in this campaign.
Okay. But it's all of you, not just you or you. It's the...
Well said, Robin.
Because, some of us all.
Yeah, because nothing can be done by just one person. It takes a village to raise a child. It takes a congregation to lead our ministry support. So we are asking each individual to look at themselves and to have this opportunity during this experience for self-reflection, self-study, go to the Bible, take advantage of the verses that you shared with us throughout this generosity campaign, and make it an opportunity for you individually on where you want to grow in this aspect of giving to the church.
Thank you. In the Deuteronomy teaching, they said it was important to repeat teachings and to have the conversations with your children and grandchildren. And I wonder if you're thinking that we should have these conversations in our home long before Commitment Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Robin, I'll let you share how we did that with our children.
When our daughter was younger, if she got money for her birthday or whatever, we tried to teach her, you know, what the tithe was and explain that difference and encouraged her to give to the church and to other things. And sometimes she was made fun of by her peers as she got a little bit older, but it's a good, if you can do anything and instill that in your children as they're younger, then as young adults, they'll know what God expects of them.
You know, when you first asked that question, I was thinking, well, you remind us all the time about things. So what's the difference in us reminding our children about this? You are our spiritual leader as our church family. We are our spiritual leader to our children and our home. So it is very important for us to talk about these things as a family. We want to carry on the legacy, the tradition of the importance of tithing for the kingdom of God.
Well, if you had one thing to say to the congregation this week about the word you, what would you say to our congregation? What is it you might want them to do differently this year?
When I think about what I want our congregation to think about, it's something I think that you're probably already thinking about often, and that is, think about the sacrifice that our Lord and Savior gave for us, and how all the many blessings that we have are because of Him. Please take the time to know where you are in your opportunity for giving, and know that those resources will be put to good use for God's kingdom.
Thank you, thank you. Well, let's end like we've ended on the first 2 weeks with that question to the congregation. Will you grow with us?
Well, welcome back to Will You Grow Week 2. If you weren't with us last week, I hope that you don't get too lost this week in the week 2, and I'm going to give you some info on how you can get caught up. But I want to point out something for you. We had some brochures that came out in the mail, and I hope that you all got one in the mail. I'll tell you, I'm not going to lie, I was very excited when mine came in the mail. I sent it. And it was like this overwhelming anticipation when I saw it final in my mailbox. And I was like, it's here. We did all this work and here it is in the mailbox. It was so exciting. My husband was not nearly as excited as I was. But I handed it to him and made him open it, and I watched him as he opened it. I was just very excited. But we want you to know that if you did not get one of these brochures, and even more so, one of these super cool little foam pockets, because we've been told this is the most exciting part of the packet, we've got prayer cards for you throughout the 4 weeks of series that go inside the little foam pocket that we want to make sure that you're getting the mailings. And if you're not, we've got Rob and Garriga is going to be at the table in the back next to the Will You Grow banner after service. She's got more copies of this, and she wants to make sure that we have your contact info so that when we send more mailings that you can get copies of that, because we don't want anyone to be left out. We got a lot of people in the church. It was not easy to compile the list of who we mailed everything to, so we don't want anyone to feel like that, you know, they weren't special and didn't get a mailing. You're special. We want you to have it. So go see Robin after. But getting back to where we are in this series, Will You Grow is this idea that we have for our biblical generosity. And this is more about our spiritual life more than anything. And last week we talked about the word will. And if you weren't here, you didn't get to hear the message, you can go online. We have a combination of all of the pastor's sermons, the things we're mailing, everything, and you can get it. And we have a short URL for you. It's this right here, sumc.io/WYG. You get it? Will you grow? You got it, right? Okay, so you can go online, you can catch up on the messages, anything you missed. We want you to be a part of this. Because I shared with everybody last week, I don't build the budget. I'm not here for that part of it. I'm here for your spiritual life, because that's my job as a connection pastor, is to help people connect into the church and to help them in their spiritual journey. We all have that job as pastors, and we all have a responsibility to some point with the budget, but I don't ever touch the budget. That's not in my hierarchy. And so I want to help you grow spiritually. So we talked last week about willpower, that we all have willpower, and some of our willpower is better than others, but willpower helps us control our impulses. It's the difference in eating a piece of cake and the entire cake. Some of you are saying, I've got that willpower. Some of you are saying, no, I don't. Okay. I don't have that willpower when it comes to cake, and I just got it forced upon me because I got told that I can't have gluten. Guess what? No cake for me. My mom has figured out how to cook gluten-free cakes, and that's not helping me because she delivers them to my house. But she has taken it as a baking challenge to figure out how to bake gluten-free. So it is willpower is what helps us stop our impulses. And our willpower is stronger in some things than other things. God's willpower is stronger than all of us. And so last week's topic was all about the fact that in our lives, if we want to be as successful spiritually as we want to be and on this earth, we have to seek God's will, because he is always bigger and mightier than we will ever be. And we are successful when we are aligned with God's will, because God doesn't define success necessarily in the same way that we do. He cares about the inside more than anything else. And that is kind of our goal. So our phrase for last week, it had to do with this. You can grow. Will you? You can grow. Will you? You can embrace who God is in your life. Will you? You can embrace his power, his might, his encouragement for you, but will you? So that was where we went last week. Now, this week, we're going to focus on the next word in our series, and that is going to be you. But I want you to commit to something. And that was last week. I challenged everybody to commit to commit. Remember that? Yeah, you all stared at me like this too. Commit to commit. I want you to commit that on November 18th, you're going to commit something. Okay. Statistically, only about half of our church congregation commits something when it comes to an estimate of giving to God. Now, friends, I'm not okay with that because committing to give to God is our spiritual life. That means we're telling God we are willing to give something out of our lives to Him. And that's a discipline, a spiritual discipline. And if only 50% of our church is doing it, then that means that 50% of our church doesn't know if they're ready to give that spiritual aspect to God. And I want you today to decide that on November 18th, you're going to do something. Do you hear that? You don't have to decide what you're going to do. Just decide to do something. It can be $5, but it needs to be something. And I want everybody to do it. I want 100% of our congregation to participate because your spiritual life matters to me. So that was my challenge last week. It's still my challenge this week for 1107, our celebration Sunday, where we are going to come to God and tell Him He is the most important thing in our life, is November 18th. So I need you to still do that. Now this week, we're talking about you. Everybody take your finger and point to the person next to you. Tell them, say, we're talking about you. Now point it back at yourself and say, and I'm talking about me. Okay, because the word you is a little weird, isn't it? It's a singular word, it's a plural word. It can mean everybody else but you, but we're talking about each and every one of us. And I'm talking about myself too. See, I'm pointing at me. This morning, we're talking about the fact that each and every one of us all have a responsibility. In our families, in our homes, in our own lives, we have a responsibility in what we're doing to grow in our faith, to grow in the ministries of the church. We could have named this series, Can We Grow? You know, we want the church to grow. We want our ministries to grow. We want our building to be filled with people all the time. We're getting close to being there. We could say, can we grow? But we wanted everyone to take ownership over this. And so we said, can you grow? Can each and every one of us grow in our lives with God? So this morning, every time I say you, don't think I'm talking about somebody else. It's each and every one of us, including myself. Now, our scripture passage this morning, I love it, from Deuteronomy. Jesus talks about this passage. By the way, he talks about it in Matthew 22 when the keepers of the law try to trap him into what is the most important commandment. They argued about that forever, and Jesus quotes this passage. He references this passage in Matthew 28 when he talks about the disciples needed to go and make disciples everywhere they go. He kind of has a hint of this passage. Jesus liked this passage. No wonder, because the Jews prayed it every day. It was foundational to who they were. So it's fitting that we use it to help us grow in our own faith. But listen to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. These is referring to the Ten Commandments, because in chapter 5, they've just listed all the Ten Commandments. So now we're moving to chapter 6. These commands, decrees, and regulations that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. See, Moses is writing this and he's saying, look, I just gave you the Ten Commandments. I've been told to teach them to you. They're important. I have to teach them to you because God told me to teach them to you. So listen up. I got to teach them to you. Then he goes on. He says, repeat these commandments again and again to your children. Kids, are you listening? No, you're not. You're sitting there going, she just said my name, Uno. All right. So your parents are supposed to teach you, kids. Supposed to teach you the Ten Commandments. How many of you know the Ten Commandments? I got some hands. I'm not quizzing you, don't worry. But we're supposed to teach our children and talk about them on the road, going to bed, getting up all the time. Supposed to tie them to doorposts. Supposed to put them on our forehead, on our hands. We can put them on our cell phones. These cards have scriptures on them. So we can put things where we see them. How many of you put scriptures on your walls? We make art out of it, right? We do that because Moses told the Israelites to put scripture where we would remember it and see it and we'd be surrounded by it. It's important. We need to do it time and again and again and again and pass on these foundations to generation after generation after generation. Last week, we talked about the importance of giving to God first. I preached out of the passage of Proverbs chapter 3. And in that passage, we talked about to honor God, we have to give to God first. The best part of everything are the word first fruits. And if we use that passage in connection to this passage, when we go on in Deuteronomy, It says that we shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your strength. Jesus added to that, right? He said, all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Some of you are probably sitting there going, something's missing. It's because Jesus added a little. But if we give to God first because we honor God and we love God with all our heart and our soul and our strength, we love God with everything, the two go hand in hand. We're supposed to teach this and we're supposed to pass it on. It's important that we pass it on. I want you to think with me for a second. Who helped form for you the concept of money? Think for a moment. Was it a family member that helped form that concept for you? Did the world help form it? Commercials? For me, as a little girl, when I was young, my parents didn't have a lot of money, but I didn't know that. I was a kid. I didn't know any different. And when I got old enough to understand money, I got an allowance. How many people still get an allowance? Some of the adults are like, can I still get one? Okay, so I got an allowance. I don't know how old I was, but I got $5 and I had to do chores to get it. I had to clean the bathroom and I had to dust and vacuum. Okay, and I got $5. Now, my dad didn't give me $5, a $5 bill. He gave me four ones and four quarters. Because if he gave me a $5 bill, then I couldn't give any money to God. I had to be able to tithe off my $5. And my dad taught me scriptural tithing, which is tithe. The word tithe means 10%. And so he said, Faith, you got to give God 10%. And so he would give me my four $1 bills and my four quarters. And then he would expect me to take my 50 cents to church that Sunday and put it in the offering plate. Well, you know, that was really easy when I got $5 because I would say, oh, this is great. I still got $4.50 left. I can go down to the Dollar Tree and I can get four toys and still have money to pay my tax. And I'm good. I even got some coins to put in my piggy bank. I liked spending money. I hardly ever saved anything. My brother was a saver. He spent all of his money. He gave his tithe and put everything in his piggy bank, not me. And then VBS would come around and they would all ask for extra money for charities. And my mom would go, well, Faith, what do you have to give extra? I go, I don't know. I spent everything at the Dollar Tree. And she'd go, we have to go figure out what's in your piggy bank because that's what we do. We give extra out of what we have. And my brother always had this extra money to give and I didn't. And I learned early that money doesn't just appear. We have to use it and be responsible with it. My parents taught me this. It's important for us to pass on our understanding of money to others. Now, we don't all necessarily have the luxury of getting that education early. But if we believe what Deuteronomy tells us, then we have a responsibility to help continue to have these conversations. And it doesn't help to have them behind closed doors. Because Deuteronomy goes on to say in verse 6, commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you. And part of that commitment is the commitment to conversation. Not just the commitment to honor God, but the commitment to share what you're doing with others. So this is my challenge for you this week, because I'm hoping that last week you made the commitment to commit. So this week, what I want you to do is go home and have a conversation. And if you got other people in your house, like children or parents, then have the conversation with them. If your children don't live here, call them on the phone and tell them the conversation that you're having. But I want you to talk about how you're going to spend your money in 19. You see, AJ and I have been having this conversation, and it's been a hard conversation for us because AJ is going to go back to school in 19, so our income is dramatically dropping. So we're having to have the conversation of what do we give up so that we can still give. And I told you last week that we've always committed to give to God first, and we're willing to give up things to do that. That's our decision. It's not an easy one. But that's what we've decided as a family. But we have those conversations with Abigail so she can learn too. So this is my challenge for you, because almost every family that has fights over money. Did you know that? The number one thing that couples fight about is money. And so I want to set you up because I want to set you up right, because you may not realize it, but there's two personalities most often. Some of you in this room, I'm not trying to be rude because I'm talking about myself. Some of you in this room are nerds. I'm a nerd. I hate the nerds. Okay, you love making budgets and you love numbers. Some of you in this room are free spirits and you look at the budget, you go, oh, that's nice, I'm gonna go do what I wanna do. Okay, and almost every relationship has a nerd and a free spirit to some level, and the nerd works really hard on numbers and the free spirit doesn't care. It's the truth. This comes out of Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace, and he has rules for how nerds and free spirits look at budgets together. If you've never taken the course, it's amazing. I love it because it helps people look at biblical generosity and how to pass these things on to your children. But the thing is, if a nerd never talks to their free spirit, you cannot support what God wants you to do in your household together. It's about conversation. And Dave Ramsey's rule is the nerd has to give up a number to the free spirit. For those of us that are nerds, that drives us crazy, right? To pass our wonderful worked off budget off to our free spirit and they go, I don't like it. And you're like, what? I worked so hard on this. But that's the rule. You have to let the free spirit change something so that you're in agreement and you can both work on it. So my challenge to you is to start your conversation now about 2019 and where you can say, I want to give something. Remember, I'm not asking you to commit to any number. I'm just asking you to talk. And ask God, where can we give to the kingdom of God? Because last week we talked about what could happen if our church was overflowing with people and our ministries were overflowing with people. And that starts with our hearts and our souls. It's not about money. It's about us. And giving God money is not about the dollars. It's about us and our heart transformation. And that is why I make a commitment to, no matter what, find a way to do it. If you want to talk more about it, come talk to me about it. I know it's sometimes you're thinking, Faith, you got off the rocker. It's all right. I can handle you telling me that. I'm a big girl. But I'd love to sit down and talk with you more about these things. Please call me and come find a time for us to have a cup of coffee. I'll buy you a cup of coffee and we can have a conversation about how this is challenging you.